does have it all. All of our pre-owned vehicles are Hubler Q certified, which include a 128-point vehicle inspection, a free Carfax vehicle history report, and two warranties. A two-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, and a 30-day, 1,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Visit any of our 13 locations today, or click drivehubler.com. Hubler has it
all. All right, 1 week from tonight, that is the 2024 MLB NFL draft. Well, have you ever watched the MLB draft?
We will hopefully not be breaking down the MLB draft. We'll have to know if a kid's going to just skip final year of high school.
We had the Franklin kid last year, right?
There's always local,
Max,
local kids.
Max Clark, right?
Yeah.
Who was drafted very high, but thankfully we're not talking about that. One of our favorites joining us now from ESPN. You will see him on day three coverage of the NFL draft. Very smart move by ESPN to involve him. He is the one and only Matt Miller. Matt, 1 week from tonight, you will be doing what?
1 week from tonight, I will be in Detroit. So my job on day one and day two is basically to keep the great Mel Kiper as fresh as humanly possible for rounds one, two, and three. So I'll be doing SportsCenter, Get Up, NFL Live. I think I'm on SportsCenter like right up until the moment that the Chicago Bears go on the clock. So I'll be in Detroit running from the set to my hotel room. And as soon as the picks are made, I'll be pounding out like draft analysis for ESPN.com on nights one and two.
I love it. Your first big domino is where in the top 10?
Three. I think the New England Patriots at three are more of a domino than we've been led to believe. I've kind of been pounding the table for the last month about they at least have to pick up the phone or answer the call even. When teams are calling up to trade up, I think if you're New England, I look at all these teams in Chicago, Minnesota, and even Washington that have set the table well for their young quarterback. I don't feel like New England has done that. So I think they at least have to entertain the call to trade out at three. They could stick and pick. They could take Drake May. They could take J.J. McCarthy. I think that'd be a surprise. But I think New England is at least the first spot where, so at about 30 minutes into the draft, the first spot where I'll be curious to see exactly what they're going to do.
Matt Miller joining us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Before we dive into the Colts who pick at 15, and there's a lot of interesting things around that, Jane Daniels met with Washington on Monday, and his odds then completely flew off the board. He's now minus 300, minus 350 to go second overall. How did we get to the point to where he is now the consensus to go number two overall?
Yeah, I think you're getting to the point where you're talking to people around the league and they're all hearing that. They're all saying that. I don't know that anyone in Washington is saying that, or at least not from the front office. Maybe coaches, maybe ownership is starting to talk a little bit as why that's happening. Adam Peters comes from the San Francisco 49ers. You know, he was in lockstep with John Lynch there for a long time. And they famously were the do not leak front office, right? Like, we don't want anyone to know what we're doing. They were the team that we all thought they were going to take Mac Jones. They took Trey Lance. So I will say that with Adam Peters, he is from that old school mindset of don't let our plans out of the building. Now, that's not to say that, you know, I don't know that Dan Quinn's like calling folks in the media saying, hey, here's who we're drafting. But I think all the winds are blowing in that direction, and it certainly makes sense. You know, Jaden had such a great year. He fits what this team would like to do. You know, I think from a standpoint of Cliff Kingsbury and the type of offense he wants to run, I think with the defensive-minded head coach, you always ask yourself, which quarterback would you least like to play? And I think for me, that is Jaden Daniels in this class.
And Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst, you're going to see him on day three coverage coming up a week from Saturday. He's with us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. Matt, let's move to the Colts at 15. Brock Bowers is available. Brian Thomas Jr. is available. And let's say Quinion Mitchell is available as well. You're Chris Ballard. You go where?
Oh, my goodness. That's tough. I actually think I go Quinion Mitchell in that scenario. And I know it might be a surprise to fans who you hear about Brock Bowers. He's a top 10 player for almost everyone. But I think it's harder to find a number one corner than it is to find a number one tight end. And I think the value of a number one corner is more valuable than a number one tight end. So I look at it, I would go Quinion Mitchell. I think the tight end depth is better than the corner depth as well. It's like I look at the corner class, Quinion Mitchell, I have him as the number two corner, but he's right behind Tyrion Arnold from Alabama. in round two, I've got corners rated in round two, but they're all like they're inside guys. You know, it's like Mike Sangerstill, inside guy. Max Melton, he could play on the outside, but doesn't have the ceiling of a Quinyon Mitchell. TJ Tampa doesn't have that ceiling. When I'm looking at round two tight ends, like I think I'd rather come out of this draft with Quinyon Mitchell and JT Sanders than I would coming out of this draft with Brock Bowers and TJ Tampa. Like, so when I think about how I could stack the board right to this team, maybe I'm holding out hope here. Like, I was always a huge fan of Jelani Woods when he was in college, and maybe I'm just holding out hope selfishly here that he's going to become that guy. But I don't look at this tight end room and see, oh my God, they have to get a starting tight end here. I don't see that. Like, it would be nice, but it does feel like a luxury. Whereas, you know, you got corners, Juju Brent, second round last year, Dallas Flowers, who went to college like 30 minutes from where I live at Pitt State. I like those guys. Kenny Moore is obviously a great, great nickel player, but I think the need at corner is much bigger than the need at tight end.
Is that the Gorillas of Pittsburgh State?
It is. The Gorillas.
Yeah. Shout out to Dallas Flowers coming off the torn Achilles.
Look at you knowing that. Matt Miller with us here, NFL draft analyst for ESPN, ESPN.com. Listen, ultimately, none of us know exactly what's going to happen with trades and everything else, and there'll always be a couple picks that will be off the board. But your hunch, if the Colts stay at 15, do you think they get the first corner, or do you think someone goes before them and they have the option to get the second or third guy there? How do you think that works out?
I think that is a great question. And I've been trying to run that scenario of, like, where does the first corner go? And it's hard to find that team without a trade back. Like, if the Chargers trade back from 5 to 11, they could take a corner. Their corners are pretty bad. Denver could take a corner at 12 if they don't make a move for a quarterback. So finding that first corner, you're almost always in that scenario of, well, if this doesn't happen, this could happen. So Indy is kind of that sweet spot for the first corner. I think you have to look at Denver as a team that could do it as well. The Raiders need a tackle so bad. Like, the Raiders could certainly go corner, but you're very, very well could be that team that, hey, first corner off the board, whether that be Arnold or Mitchell. It's kind of a, you know, preference of scheme fit at that point, but the Colts are right there. Again, if we see some teams go tackle like Denver, like the Raiders, then you're starting to watch those corners fall down the board.
At NFL Draft Scout on Twitter, Matt Miller spent last night watching the Royals and White Sox on TV. Oh. So pray for his
God bless
sanity there with that. Royals.
I thought we were
fan.
Talking MLB draft. You know, MLB draft. I was ready to go.
Yeah, I know you've been watching a lot of SEC starters on a Friday night here. To mention with all the SEC talent, NFL wise. Okay, Matt. When we go to bed a week from now, tonight, when we go to bed Thursday night, will Michael Penix's name been called yet?
I don't think so. And like, you do hear like that he could go in the top half of the draft, but you hear that more from media people than NFL people. I haven't spoken to one team that thinks that he's going to go in the top half of the draft. Now, I hope he does. I really do. Like, I think you root for every player, you know, to go early. That would be fantastic for him. But as of right now, I have not found a team who says, hey, we like him up here. I think everyone kind of assumes the Raiders might do it. But 13 feels really early for me, and I think it's more likely that we would see the Raiders try to come back in late first round to make that pick as opposed to doing it at 13.
Matt, obviously it's mock draft season. I thought it was a really cool idea and execution by you to do the scouts predict the top 10 picks. You reached out to scouts from around the league, and they made the selections 1 through 10. I thought just one thing that stood out to me was Quinyon Mitchell, because he's been a popular name to the Colts. He was 8. With Raheem Morris to the Falcons there. And for what it's worth, it was an AFC South area scout who made that selection, as you pointed out in your story. Anything scout-related with that mock draft stand out to you with the top 10?
Yeah, you know, the fact that J.J. McCarthy didn't go in the top 10 really shocked me. And I think that goes to show that, you know, where J.J. is ranked versus where he's expected to be drafted are very different. You know, he is not a player that you talk to teams and they're saying, like, yeah, this is a top 10 player. That does not happen. It's more so, well, this team needs a quarterback, so, you know, he's going to get forced into the top 10. It's certainly much more that case than the other of where he's, you know, actually ranked and expected to go. Look at Byron Murphy from Texas. They had the scouts had him going 9 overall to the Chicago Bears. That one actually makes a lot of sense to me. I love Byron Murphy. I think he's my number 12 overall player. I'm a huge fan of his. And you look at Chicago, if the receivers are off the board, then it does kind of make sense that Chicago could go with an interior defender. The value of those guys are only continuing to go up. You know, we just saw a boatload of them get paid this offseason. So I do look at Chicago and say, okay, if the receivers are off the board and you don't trade back, take Byron Murphy. And Matt Eberflus's defense, you guys know Matt Eberflus's defense, you need that three technique, you need that interior pass rusher, and Murphy's the best one. In a draft class, it's pretty shallow at the three technique position.
Matt Miller joining us here on the Payless Liquors Hotline. You can check him day 3 of the draft. A ton of stuff on TV, radio, ESPN.com. He's their NFL draft analyst. You know, it's an odd question, but so a couple weeks ago, there was kind of a report about Malik Nabers, the wide receiver from LSU. Maybe he was a high maintenance guy. You know, guys in the NFL had talked about that. And I don't think he's going to get to 15. We've had the conversation if he or others would drop, if Ballard would move up. Nabers did come out a couple weekends ago, though, Matt, and, you know, basically said, you know, they got to pick on someone in the draft process. And I guess this year it's going to be me. But I haven't seen anything else in the last couple weeks on that. So what do you think about those reports a couple weeks ago? Anything with Nabers that would that you would worry about, or that you think he might, you know, fall in the draft coming up in a week?
And I think it is, like, it's natural this time of year for things to come out. I'm not saying they're manufactured. I think it's, you know, as teams get information on players, as teams talk to people like me in the media, these things do come out. Now, I'm not breaking news here. This is public record. You know, Nabers was arrested on gun charges in 2023. The charges were dropped. I think it was something like on Bourbon Street, maybe, if I'm remembering correctly.
Mm-hmm. So it was.
You know, that comes out, and I think there are going to be people that rush to judgment on that and say, oh, red flag, off field. You know, charges were dropped. You know, certainly, you know, it's always it's something that you have to do your due diligence on, especially when it's something like a gun charge. You have to dig into that. I haven't heard from any teams that have said Malik Nabers is going to drop in the draft because of character, because of off field. I have not heard that. In fact, I've heard, you know, the opposite, that the closer we get to the draft, more teams do like him, you know, and that I reported this back at the Senior Bowl, that there were teams even back then who had him as the number one receiver. And I think that list of teams has only grown as people have dug into the tape. So, you know, Nabers, Odunze, Marvin Harrison Jr. are all incredibly talented. I think there is a legitimate debate about which one is the best. And I think if you talk to all 32 teams and they're honest, it might be split, you know, into thirds as to who the best one is in this class. So I don't think that's anything that we're going to see affect him a week from now. You know, he's still going to be selected very, very early in the top 9, definitely.
Matt, we got about 60 seconds left. We can't thank you enough for your time. This is probably asking you to predict a correct, perfect, 100% NCAA tournament bracket. If I give you one name for Mr. Irrelevant, you're on the stage, day 3,
wow.
ESPN,
I like it.
One name, the final pick of this year's NFL draft, Matt Miller.
Wow, let me go Imani Bailey, running back, Boise State. That's a deep cut. I was not expecting to go there. That's good.
You had a name, Matt. That's impressive.
You had a name.
TCU.
And it wasn't
TCU.
A punter.
I went wrong college, though. TCU. I was thinking of a different running back. Imani Bailey from TCU. I'll go there.
You could have said Alabama or Pittsburgh State, and I would have believed you on that. Matt Miller, great stuff with ESPN. Again, he'll be on the TV coverage coming up a week from Saturday. Matt, always enjoy our conversations. Thanks for making time for us.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.